So you all know that we're going to have the great privilege of hearing from our lead pastor today, and I'm going to be giving you his bio, little bits of information that even though we see him up in front, that none of us ever know. But one thing you might not know is how Chuck unwinds at the end of the day. Would you like to see? You see? This is how Chuck unwinds at the end of the day. This was from a very good resource on Facebook, his wife. We thank her for that. Let's hear a little bit about Chuck. This is really fun for me to do because I was at Bethlehem when we voted on Chuck to come. So when he gets a little rascally, I'll say to him, "Remember, I voted for you." So, anyway, he was raised in a Christian home, and he accepted Christ at the age of 8. Music was his focus early on, and he graduated from Wheaton College in 1982 with a BA in music education and voice. He married Carol that same year. Smart move, Chuck. Yep. He later received a master's degree in choral conducting from St. Cloud State in 1990. He was a minister of youth and music in Iowa, where he also taught physical education at a Catholic school for 2 years. God called the Stedhams to Monticello, Minnesota in 1984, where Chuck served as minister of music and Christian education at Riverside Alliance, formerly Monticello Alliance. In 1990, they were called to Prairie Bible Institute in Canada, right, Chuck? Prairie Bible Institute, where Chuck would teach and later chair the music department and then become the associate dean of the college. And then in 1997, June 1st, he came to Bethlehem Baptist. That was a great time. I'm just going to insert a little sentence here. We had gone through a hard time. And as many churches, we're struggling with our type of worship. Contemporary, traditional, what do we do? And Chuck was like a balm that came in. At least that's how I would describe it. He came in and he started leading worship. And it was just like, whew. And we did both. And it was just a very sweet time. So he endeared himself to those of us that were here just through that. But Chuck's authentic leadership flows out of his music-filled heart as he leads the South pastoral team, sings, teaches, pastors, and encourages us to be more and more open to the filling of the Spirit in heartfelt worship of God, who alone is worthy of it. Amen. His desire is to win unbelievers, to strengthen, encourage, and fire the faith of believers, and to support the hands of those who serve through music and the word. His wife, Carol, is the principal accompanist at Bethlehem South Campus. The Stedhams have 4 children, Daniel, Allison, Kendra, and Alex, who is now with the Lord. So we were so happy that God brought Chuck not only to Bethlehem, but then he brought him to the South Campus to be our Minister of Music in 2013, and now since 2014, he has been our lead pastor. So, will you welcome with me Pastor Chuck Stedham?
Well, that picture happened night before last in the kitchen. We were, Keandra, my daughter, we were doing a happy dance with funny glasses and getting our dance tude on, and so somebody happened to catch us while we were doing that. So, it's great to be with you. This couldn't be a worse topic for me to speak on, patience. And all you need to do is ask my wife about that. this is, so all the words that I have this morning are preached to me, as I'm trying to wrestle with this issue in my own life. I used to get sort of wanderlust every 5 to 7 years, and so we would tended to move around just because I would be so impatient with things. I heard this, Margaret Thatcher said this about patience: I'm extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way. That would be some of my thoughts about patience. Another one was, patience is simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting is the issue. And then a much deeper thinker and scholar wrote this about patience. A waiting person is a patient person. And a word and the word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden there will manifest itself to us. And I think that's where I take a gulp and go, staying where God has me. That begins to sort of stick it a little bit and go, So I'm going to talk a little bit about patience this morning. And if you get impatient, you feel free to stand up and do whatever. But who thinks they are a patient person? Yeah, it's like trying to say, who thinks they're humble? You know, like, who's going to stand up and say that? And about the time I think, well, I'm doing pretty good in this category, something comes along and bam, I realize, gee, I'm not as patient as I thought I was. The opposite of patience is impatience. And impatience is a form of unbelief. So let me. That's kind of the layout that I have to talk to myself about. The opposite of patience is impatience, and impatience is a form of unbelief. It's what we begin to feel when we start to doubt the wisdom of God's timing or the goodness of his guidance. It springs up in our hearts when I encounter a detour on the highway, when I did not allow enough time to encounter that detour, and I become impatient. I'm tempted to ride the bumper of the guy next to me, in front of me. I'm tempted to pull out and go around. I am tempted to honk on the horn. I become very, very impatient. Another moment when I say, family, we got to be out the door at 7:15 on Sunday morning to get to church. Okay? How we coming? Just a minute. 5 minutes later, how we doing? Just a minute. Get down here. Just a minute. And at that point in time on Sunday morning, all my impatience buttons are being pushed because I've got people waiting for me and we've got to be there. And that is probably one of the most difficult struggles I have on Sunday morning as the worship pastor is, what's God doing with my heart at that point in time? Impatience. Or have you ever had this where I saw in a newspaper there's an item on sale, okay, and it's just what I wanted, and it's just what I, about the money I wanted to, and so I drive to the store, and I start looking for the item, and realize the store ran out of the item, or the store never had the sale item, but in the meantime, I have gotten my heart up and affections, and oh, come on, you got to be kidding. Impatience. And you can fill in the blank. Sometimes it's a long checkout line. Do you ever go, okay, I'm going to kind of eye up these checkout lines, okay? And, well, okay, that teller seems to be really working fast. So, you know, and I'm trusting that they're just going to keep clicking. And the minute I go, okay, I'm going to choose this one. And I stand in that line, and all of a sudden, the blinking light goes on. She has a question she has to ask the manager, and I'm stuck. Okay? You just can't imagine what's going on in my... I chose poorly. Rats! And there I'm sitting, and you know, all of those kinds of things. Impatience. Or there are those long fights over disease, handicaps, or things that just don't seem to change and get better. And they change our hearts. And they kill some of our dreams even. So the opposite of impatience, is not glib, superficial denial of frustration. The opposite of impatience is a deepening, ripening, peaceful willingness to either wait for God where you are in the place of obedience or to persevere at the pace he allows on the road to obedience. To wait in his place or to go at his pace. Now, when you plan to run your day or the way you plan to live your life is cut off or slowed down, the unbelief of impatience tempts you in two directions. And sometimes it's depending a little bit on your personality or on your circumstances. But on one side, it tempts you to give up, to bail. There's going to be frustration. There's going to be opposition. There's difficulty. Just forget it. I'm done. I'm out of here. And we're tempted to fight that. I'm done with this job. I am done with this kid. I'm done with marriage. Or I'm done with this life. They really get heavy. And that's one way the unbelief or impatience tempts you to give up. Have you ever been there? I'm ready to give this thing up. Or on the other side, impatience tempts you to make rash countermoves against obstacles in your way. It tempts you to be impetuous or hasty or impulsive or reckless and try to come up with your own solutions to the obstacles you face. You try to beat the system and manage your life yourself. Have you ever done that? Okay? I'm going to get out of this detour. I'm going to turn here. And I'm going to go down this road. And only to realize that that road is also closed for construction. Nuts. Now I'm even further behind. Or I tried to buy... let's see. I'm going to take what they have on the shelf and realize later it's not what I really wanted or needed. I try to manage it myself. So whichever way you battle impatience, the main point today is that it is a battle against unbelief. It's a battle against unbelief. And therefore, it's not merely a personality issue. It's not how I'm wired. It's the issue of whether you live by faith and whether you inherit the promises of eternal life. Listen to these verses here as I share with you some sense of how serious the battle is. Luke 21:19, by your endurance or patience, you will gain your lives. By your endurance or patience, you will gain your lives. Romans 2:7, to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, God will give you eternal life. That's what's in the balance. Eternal life. Hebrews 6:12, do not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So patience in doing the will of God is not an optional virtue in the Christian life. I remember as a little kid, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Okay, probably one of the first verses I ever learned. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, and self-control, or whatever version you're using at that particular point. I have known that. It is in there. And yet, it is a battle. And it's a reason that it's not about faith is not optional. Patience in well-doing is the fruit of faith. Patience in well-doing is the fruit of faith. And impatience is the fruit of unbelief. And so the battle against impatience is a battle against unbelief. And so the chief weapon is the Word of God, especially His promises. Does anybody know what Psalm 135 says? Psalm 130, verse 5. I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. Okay? Waiting for the Lord is the Old Testament way of describing the opposite of impatience. Okay? Waiting on the Lord. How many times have you read, wait on the Lord? Oh, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. Wait on the Lord. That's the opposite of impatience. Waiting for the Lord is the opposite of running ahead of the Lord, and it's the opposite of bailing out on the Lord. It's staying at your appointed place while the Lord says stay, or it's going at the Lord's appointed pace when He says go. It's not impatience, and it's not despairing. So now, the psalmist sustains his patience as he waits for the Lord by what? In the word, I hope. I hope. And hope is just faith in future tense. Hope is just faith in future tense. Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So what we have in Psalm 130, verse 5, my little verse, is a clear illustration that the way to battle impatience is to buttress your faith or hope in God, and the way to buttress your hope in God is to listen to His word, especially the promises. Somebody got a promise, kind of off the top of your head, that you use to battle? Can you think of one? He never leaves us or forsakes us. Amen. No good thing. Those good things. Yeah. The Lord God is with you. He's for you. Mm-hmm. So how do you fight? How do you fight? If you're tempted not to wait peacefully for God, let Him. I don't know how many times my wife has to remind me, do you know what the next step is? No. So what does that mean? But my job is to keep things moving. It's to know where the next thing is. I'm supposed to know these things. But I pray. and I don't know what to do. So, wait. Oh, that is the hardest thing. I know Carol's right. And the minute she says it, I know. I know it to be true. And I know it at that point in time, the Lord has her, is speaking to me through her. Wait. So how do I fight at that moment for my lack of my impetuousness and unbelief? Well, I'm looking for some examples. And one of the examples is what happens when you don't wait. I go, what happens when I don't wait? In Isaiah chapter 30, during Isaiah's day, Israel was threatened by enemies like Assyria. And Assyrians, they were not nice people. And during those times, God sent the prophet with his word to tell Israel how he wanted them to respond to the threat of the Assyrians coming at them. But one time, Israel became impatient with God's timing. They were afraid. They were overwhelmed. They saw this huge group of people coming at them. And the odds for success weren't very good. And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 and 2 describes what Israel did in her impatience. "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, and who make a league, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my counsel, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt." This, in God's eyes, was the opposite of waiting on the Lord. Israel became patient. They said, okay, I'm afraid of the Assyrians, so I'm going to go jump in league with the Egyptians. They can protect us. They can be our protector. They can help us out at that particular time. And God had not. Continually, God had delivered his people as they were wandering in the wilderness. This was the opposite of waiting on the Lord. Israel became impatient, and God had not delivered them from their enemy in the time or in the way that he had hoped for. And patience ran out. God, I have a way that I think you're going to answer my prayer. Now, if you'll just move this piece around and take care of this, I'm good. But that didn't happen. God, if you will just move this circumstance and this situation around, I think it'll work out. But it didn't. It didn't happen the way I thought it was supposed to happen. They made a plan and a treaty, but they weren't God's. The key words in verse 2, they set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my counsel. And this is that picture of that impetuous side of impatience. This is where many of us sin almost daily. Me, charging ahead in our own plans without stopping to consult the Lord. Do you ever do that? No? If I ask myself that question, how many things did I pray about today? Well, I kind of gave it one big general shotgun prayer this morning. Lord, kind of shepherd my day, okay? Make sure nothing bad happens. Take care of all those things. Go before me. Bam. Big shotgun prayer. Okay. The problem is that when I encounter that first difficulty, it's like that prayer had no effect. There was nothing in my brain that hung with that. It's just like, I am now flat. I'm I'm struggling. And I think the reality is that we need to cultivate that continual sense of being in prayer for everything. Lord, help me today get my kid out to school. Our daughter, Keandra, is 12. She's a special needs kid. She has FASD, ADD, ADHD, anything else. Just seems like we got the whole list, okay? The whole gamut of things. And no matter how hard we plan our day, if something sets her off and we get in that situation, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. In fact, I just got a call 5 minutes before I came in here. Dad, I'm not going to school today. Oh, really? Well, can we talk about that? Well, you know what happens? The phone goes away, and all of a sudden we're into a fight and into a war. And our daughter has taught us more about patience. And Carol and I were laying in bed last night going, God gave us this child. God gave us this child. So what does that mean for us? She didn't fit any of my categories, never on my timetable, and anything I think we've learned today we lost, and we're back to square one tomorrow. And so the reality is it's a moment by moment, and I honestly have found myself sitting in my chair in the morning, Lord, can you give us strength to get her out the door this morning? Okay, that's going to take the next 2 hours. Can you, by God, give us grace to get her up, get her fed, dressed, and ready to go out the door? Whew! We do our little happy dance when we're walking out the front door. Hey, we get to school. Thank you, God. Oh, my goodness. I got 3 emails, Lord. 2 of them are hard, and 1 of them's okay. And I got to answer these 2 emails. Lord, would you give me grace right now to have the right words to say? To know what to do in this situation. And I have found by the end of the day, I have prayed about 8, 10 different things. And I feel like God has helped me through that and given me much better responses in that moment than if I pray that shotgun prayer and just walk out the door and kind of wing it. Kind of manage whatever happens. And but if I'm not prepared, fear and anxiety hit me in that moment, and I try to manage things on my own. And then I wonder, if they don't work out, I wonder, well, God, why didn't you hear my prayer? Oh, maybe I didn't pray. Maybe I had just sort of taken control of that thing. And so I just want to encourage you to begin to develop a life that says it's not just about praying over the thing to-do list in the morning or that giant shotgun prayer, be with me today, but cultivate that sense of continually asking God, God, I don't want to assume anything today. I have my meetings. The kids have these events. You know, we've got this thing to go to. Lord, superintend, shepherd, and show me each step of the way what I'm supposed to do. And I really feel like at that moment when fear and anxiety comes up, I pray, and that's where the battle. And I still get impetuous, and I still try to manage things. But slowly, God is doing a work in my heart to pray first, ask his counsel. The Lord gives a warning in verse 3 of Isaiah 30. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, turn to your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation. In other words, your impatience is going to backfire on you. Egypt will deliver you. It will be your shame. Your impatience will turn out to be your humiliation. And that's what we saw with Israel becoming captives to Egypt. And this is a warning to all of us. When our way is blocked and the Lord says, wait, we better trust him and wait. Because if we run ahead without consulting him, our plans will probably not be his plans. And they will bring shame on us rather than glory. Have you ever made a plan and it failed? It's not a rhetorical question. Are you? Yes? Is that? And I think that, well, you remember Abraham and Hagar? There's one where he was not patient to wait for a son. So he takes matters into his own hands and tries to come up with another way to get a son. Saul got impatient. He was nervous, and he offered sacrifice before the prophet Nathan got there. And that didn't go well for him. He lost the kingdom. And so when I start thinking about these particular examples, they had huge consequences. And sometimes when I don't wait on the Lord, there are consequences. And most recently, most of my consequences are, I'm sorry, Carol. I yelled. I'm sorry. That was not my intent. But I was so frustrated. Patience. Battling unbelief. It's a battle for faith. Do you believe that God is in control of all this? Do you believe he's in this moment and he is with you? And that, to me, is where this pastor finds his heart on a regular basis. That's the real fight for me, is the fight of faith. So what should we do in that text? What should we do when we feel boxed in by obstacles or frustrations? Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore, he exalts himself to show mercy for you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Happy are those who wait for him. Two huge promises. In verse 15, in quietness and trust shall be your strength. In other words, if you rest in God, if you look to him instead of dashing down to Egypt or managing your own thoughts and ideas, if you trust him, then he will give you the strength you need to be patient and to handle the stresses that are with you. Is that mine? Ooh, it is. I hate those pocket dials. I just FaceTimed Ireland. Hope they're okay with that. The second thing is, blessed are those who wait. And God gives promises if you wait patiently for his guidance and help instead of plunging ahead without asking for his counsel. In quietness, trust. Is your life quiet? Is it restful? Yeah. Generally not. Generally not. There's always stuff. The rigor of the day, the kids, the activities, all of those things. Quietness. Part of learning to be patient is building in time to be quiet. Just time to be quiet. Time to listen. It's hard, and everybody finds their own rhythm. I have found that sacrificing that hour of sleep in the morning works for me. Doesn't always work for everybody, but I got to get into my big chair. I got to sit down, grab the cup of coffee, and got to be in the big chair and simply it's thinking through the day. It's praying through each thing that I know I'm facing today. And I go through my prayer list. Lord's been really prompting me lately about that prayer list, praying for the kids in so many different new ways, and then extended family and so forth. But it's that time to quiet yourself. And I know that at the expense of sleep for moms, that's huge. So find somewhere in your day where you've got that time to quiet yourself. I think that's been one of the things that has probably helped me the most. Some days I have to get out and actually unplug and get away somewhere and just kind of decompress. But quietness, I think, is really helpful. And then giving me promises and helping me think through, do I really know what I'm supposed to do, or should I wait? Should I pray? Do we make this decision about the house? Do we spend money here? Do we need to spend more time with this family, or do we need to connect with these people, or what do the kids need here? And to be real honest and say, I'm not really sure. And that's the opportunity to lift it up to the Lord and to wait on Him. And like any of these things, you do need to do a little preaching to yourself. You really do. Because so much of the tyranny of the urgent and the weight of we feel in some of these decisions and the struggle, the frustration, all of those things. I like Isaiah 49:23. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. And as a husband and a dad and a father, I'm supposed to be making these decisions out there. I'm a long-range vision person. It really frustrates me if I don't know where we're going in 5 years. Maybe you're like that, or maybe you've got a spouse that's wired that way. It bugs the dickens out of me when I don't know where we're going, because I operate in light of the long vision. And so then if I don't know where the long vision is, then I don't know what to do today. And that is so doggone frustrating and paralyzing to me. And then if I don't know because it's dependent upon somebody else, that's even more frustrating. So I'm really at that point where, okay, I'm waiting. I'm waiting, Lord. And He has to come in. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. I don't need to worry that I haven't made that decision yet or that I don't know. The Lord's just simply saying there are things you don't see right now. I don't see a lot of things. So humble myself and wait. Isaiah 64:4. No eye has seen a God besides thee who works for those who wait for Him. No eye has seen a God besides thee who works for those who wait. Okay, so the waiting's painful. He's working. And then this is the one that we write songs about and sing about. Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those are the ones who wait. Isaiah 40:31. So you battle the unbelief of impatience by using the promises of God to persuade your heart that God's timing and God's guidance and God's sovereignty are going to take this frustrated, boxed in, unproductive situation and make something eternally valuable out of it. He's refining me. He's sanctifying me. He's causing faith to be built in me. There will come a blessing, a strength, a vindication, and a mounting up with wings like eagles when we wait on the Lord. So, patience, faith, impatience, unbelief. How do we battle unbelief? The promises of God, quieting ourselves, resting, and crying out to God for everything in our day. He begins to do his work. We will not be put to shame. And we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint for those who wait on the Lord. Patience. How hard, but how glorious when it's God working in you. How many... You all have had experiences where you thought something was not going to happen, and it did. And it's like, thank you, God. That's how he wants us to live all the time, moment by moment. It's not one of those, it happened three times this year. The rest of the time was really hard. No, what's God been doing today? Well, he did this. He changed this route. He gave me this friend. For our daughter Keandra with FASD, we make friends and we can't keep friends. And so we're always praying for a friend for Keandra. She's functionally an only child because the three are a lot older and out. So... they're just little battle things that we pray for on a regular basis. And there's a friend. Oh, did you see that? And sometimes we just have to kind of look at each other, and we tend to get frustrated with things, and we need to count our blessings. We need to see the answers, and if we're looking at it, every aspect of our day, then it helps us to be better, I think, equipped to wait on the Lord and thereby building in us that quiet rest, that patience. Thoughts? Questions?
I don't know, Pastor Chuck. I think you're out to lunch on that one.
Have you seen God work like that in your lives? So all of you are just patient saints.
I had an interesting yesterday. I had a patient that walked in my chair, and I knew immediately I didn't want to see her again. So I went up to the front and I said, "I'm going to schedule her with me, even if she has to see me next time." And I thought, what a bad thing to say. And I went back, and then I had to run down the hall for an X-ray or something. And I said, "Lord, you're breaking through here. I can feel it." And even though I didn't ask for it, I sensed God changing me right away. Mm-hmm. And so I was thankful for that. That was a bad attitude that I had. I don't think it's an easy patient to have, but I wasn't going to make it worse, and God broke through. That was an example just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Any other? Yeah.
That's why it's faith. It's faith and trusting that we will not be put to shame. God has the best plan. God does everything well. And so it's that reality of, well, at that moment, how am I battling the unbelief? And fear is huge. But just, that's a good example of preaching to yourself. You were just kind of preaching to yourself there, and me too, by the way. And so, yeah, you know, just those reminders, who God is so important.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, thank you. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, I love what I'm talking about. It's just, you know, hammers home. Like, you've got this, God. Like, you're the king of the world.
It's that place. That's what we know and what we see. It's that pace. Why isn't it now, Lord? This is your will. It's in your word, you know. So why not now? And that's the being willing to, the waiting aspect of it is where, wow, that's where I have to battle. In my humble but accurate opinion, this is how it's supposed to go. That's what I always... it's my opinion. I believe this. You know, my humble but accurate opinion. Really? You know, it's laying that continually before the Lord. But, you know, that's why I like the... It's a timing thing. God's doing a work here. But in so many different ways, with so many different other things, it might not be exactly when I want it. And that's huge. I think the Psalm 30, where it says. Let me quote it here to make sure I wait for the Lord. my soul waits, and in his word I hope. And in his word I hope. So hope is faith in future tense. Okay? What's our hope? Where's our hope? As children of God, our hope is eternal. Our hope is the Lord has, by his finished work on the cross, his death and resurrection, I no longer fear and face the wrath of God. As I put my trust in him, I no longer face the wrath of God, but now I have life. And my hope is in him eternally. And so I also see the promises that he says, if I promise that I will, for example, you will not be put to shame for those who wait on the Lord. So there is it's a trust, it's a faith in our hope that is sure. If I didn't believe God could do all these things, if I really didn't believe that he really was the king of the universe, then I couldn't put my trust in that. Did that help? Okay. Yeah. Can I pray for you? Lord Jesus, we stand before you and we just ask, God, that you would grant us not only faith, but I pray that you would give us a boldness to fight impatience and to fight it, Lord, in a way that you've ordained through reminding us of who you are and what you have promised and what you have said. So, Lord, drive us to your word to cling to these promises that could help us in the moment not go off and do the impetuous thing, the thing that can so easily happen when we want to make things happen or take control. But, Lord, grant each woman in this room a grace to be able to wait in faith, in hope for what you are going to do. And remind our minds, Lord, who are so geared to anxiousness and to anxiety and fear, that we can hope and trust in you. You never fail. And we will not be put to shame when we wait on you. So, Lord, we humble ourselves and ask for that kind of faith. We ask in that way that you would make us patient, hope-filled people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Chuck. I think that spoke to so many of us here as moms and as